Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Gittin Daf Nun Gimel. We are holding at the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amud Beis, 5 from the bottom. Says the Mishnah, Hamatame, one approaches his friend's produce and makes a tummy, Vamadameya, or he mixes truma into his friend's non-truma material, into his friend's chulin, rendering it a mixture which is asur for a Yisrael. So he basically damaged his friend's produce. Vamanasech, or he made his friend's wine into yayin nesech. All these are examples of hezek she'eino nikar, invisible damage. It was damaged, but in the spiritual realm, rather than the, you know, tangible physical realm. So in all these cases, we say b'shoigeik pater. If it was done by accident, he's exempt. But made it chayiv, he did it on purpose, he has to pay. The Gemara, of course, will discuss the reason for this halacha. But first, itmar we have learned. When we say menasech in the Mishnah, what exactly happened? How did he make his friend's wine into yayin nesach? Rav amar menasech mamash. Rashi says, shichshech biyodai l'soichai l'shem avidazar. He picked up his wine and he wiggled his hand through it with the intent of worshipping avidazara in that manner. V'kach hoisa avidazara, that's how they did it. Resulting in yayin nesach, which is asr bahana, which one cannot benefit from. He made it asr. So Rav says, literally, he was menasech. He poured it, he made it into a yayin nesach. Shmuel amar ma'ariv. No, he didn't actually make it yayin nesach. He took pre-existing yayin nesach and he mixed it into his friend's wine, rendering that mixture asr. So according to Rav, he was menasech. According to Shmuel, he merely mixed yayin nesach into the other friend's wine. Now, why did each shita not agree with the other? Man da'amar ma'ariv. Shmuel says there was a mix. My timer lo amar menasech. Why didn't he learn like Rav? Well, the Mishnah says menasech. So why didn't he learn simply that he did nisuch? Amalach Shmuel responds, well, menasech, to actually do nisuch, it's a bit tricky. Why? Because how then does the Mishnah obligate him to pay? Come live with the Rav Amine. There's a halacha that when a person commits a double crime, something which entails a chi of misa, capital punishment, such as skila, which is applied to a person doing avodah zarah, as well as a monetary obligation that comes along with it, such as in this case where he damaged his friend's property, the most severe punishment is applied, i.e. misa. There's no chi of moments. How could the Mishnah say b'mezid he has to pay? That's why Shmuel could not learn like Rav that he actually did avodah zarah, v'idach. So how does Rav answer that question? Why is he obligated to pay? The answer is, Kid Rabbi Yirmiya, Dama Rabbi Yirmiya Mishas HaGboha Hudakana. As soon as he picked up, as soon as he lifted the wine, he was kind of, he acquired it, meaning he stole it, before he did the actual Nisuch. Meschai ben Nafshe Le'yehavi Achas Nisuch. The Chiv Skila, the Chiv Misa only arrives later when he actually does the Nisuch, a second later, a minute later. So it was a two-stage process, even though it led to Nisuch. But we can split it into two. The monetary obligation kicks in as soon as he lifts the wine and acquires it and steals it. And that's why he's chayiv. Because he stole his wine and he has nothing to give back. It's asur b'hana. The nisuch happened later. It's unrelated to the first part of that ma'asa. So we could very well understand why he has to pay. And apparently Shmuel holds, so this is Taisus explaining, Shmuel holds it's all one swoop, it's one thing. He lifted it in order to do Nisuch. You can't split the two. And if Nisuch generates Chiv Misa, there's no way we can generate Chiv Mamain to this fellow. Asks the Gemara the other way around. Ulamandama Menasech. Rav learns actual Nisuch happened. My time, Ulamandama Me'arev, why didn't he learn like Shmuel that he made a mix? Amalach ma'ariv hainu medameh, because that's exactly like the second case in the Mishnah, where he mixed truma and tehulim. So why replicate the a concept. So apparently Menasech means Menasech Mamish. V'idach, what does Shmuel do with that question? Once we speak about Medameya, which is a form of, you know, mixing Isser Beheter, why repeat the same, you know, similar case with Menasech, mixed Isser Beheter? V'idach Knaso, because after all, the Mishnah here, which obligates him to pay, it's a knas, it's a penalty, because as we're going to learn later, this type of damage, this type of harm is called hezek she'ein nikur. It's not visible, it's not tangible. Min haTorah lo yishmei hezek. We don't consider it a hezek. He's not really responsible. Rather, the chachamim applied a knas, they penalized him for doing this to his friend's property. Well, you know, sometimes there are factors which dictate that, you know, this is deserving of knas, this is more common, this is more... And the other one does not have knas, so we can't compare apples to oranges, and therefore there's a need to actually stipulate various cases with the knas that comes along with it. That's Shmuel's approach. We can't learn one case from the other, because it's knas. V'idach knasahu miknas le'afinam. So it makes perfect sense that the Mishnah would actually list various cases, even though they're very similar to each other, such as Mdameya and Menasich. Now, according to Rav, who didn't seem to have this problem? Right? The reason why he didn't learn Menasich, like Shmuel, that it was a mix, because that mix concept can be learned from Mdameya. You can learn one knas from the other. You can compare knasos. If that's the case, then we have a question. Why does the Mishnah, in fact, mention three cases? Kolhani lamali. If we can learn one knas from the other, just like the Chachamim applied a knas to this type of invisible damage, the same to the others, why mention three separate cases? Tzricha, all have a chiddush. All are needed. Why? Let's go down the list. Di tana metame. If we only mention metame, well, for a good reason. I truma. If he was metame, his friend's truma, hafamina, I would say mishum de kamasla lagamri, because he's totally ruining it. He's making it totally inedible. That's why he has to pay. Even metame chulin, if it's speaking that he was metame his friend's chulin, which can still be eaten after its tummy, the reason why we apply a knas is because he did something terrible. Mishum de asro ligroim tumah lechulin, Eretz Yisrael. Why may not cause tumah to something which is chulin in Eretz Yisrael, because people might want to eat it at tahara. So he did something wrong. So we fully understand this is really a, you know, compounded violation, and therefore he has to pay up. But if he's just mixing truma to his friend's chulin, you know, it's still edible, give it to the kayin, not so bad. Perhaps it doesn't deserve a knas. And that's why we have to mention medameya as well. If we mention medameya, I would say mishum de shchiach, because unfortunately it's a very common thing. Things should get mixed up, and, you know, he can just blame it on the circumstance. Therefore, we apply a knas. But to make something tamei, it's not something common. Perhaps a knas is not in place. That's why we mention that as well. If we mention these two, I would say knas is certainly applicable because there's no chi of me, so there's no issue of kimla b'durav b'minei. Aval ben nasich, but when he actually did nisach yayin, avidazora, the kimla b'durav b'minei, there's a kimla b'durav b'minei factor, as we mentioned before. Emolei, perhaps there's no payment in place. Kamash b'lunk Rabbi Yirmiya, that's why we have to mention this as well. And the chiddush is like Rabbi Yirmiya, like we said before. We split the process into two. There is the monetary part, and then there is a chiyuv misa part. So that's why the Mishnah mentioned all three cases. Each one has a special chiddush. Asks the Gemara, Ulaha de Tani, Avua de Rav Avin. Now, what about the Braisa that Rav Avin, Rav Avin's father presented? A little bit of a different version than our Mishnah in terms of these halachas. It goes like this. But Rishon, in the good old days, Hayyayimim, they would say, only two cases deserve knas, Hametame v'Hamanasich. And then they added the third, Chazulay Ma'afam Dameya. Now, once they had Metame and Menasech, which really contain all the Chedushim, look, Metame is a very severe thing, it makes it inedible, etc. Menasech has the Kimla B'durabim in the aspect, and still we apply Knas. So why did we have to go add Medameya afterwards, which is a lesser Chedush, a lesser case? Kol Hani Lamali, so why do we need all three cases? Tzricha, they're all needed. Why? The Yashminu Metame. If we only mention metami, mishum de loy kimla b'durav b'nei, there's no chiyuv misa, there's no issue of kimla b'nei, so knas kicks in. Avol Menasech, Tekim L'Rav Menei, but by Menasech, where there's a death penalty involved, perhaps that complicates things, and there's no knas applied. That's why we mentioned that as well. V'yashmina Menasech, conversely, we only mentioned Menasech, Mishum Dekamas L'Legamri, because when he does Nisuch, well, he totally destroys the wine. It's Asur totally Bahanoah. Of course, a knas kicks in Avol Metami, when he's Metami, his friend's fruit. It's not total destruction, although it's totally inedible, perhaps, but if it's truma, but you know, even by truma tmeya, you can still benefit from it. You can feed it to this animal, you can use it as fuel. So perhaps, emalei, perhaps we don't apply a knas. That's why we mention metami as well. Had we only mentioned metami and menasech, I would say, yeah, Mishum Nehesed Merubah, because he caused a real serious, large scale loss. But when he mixed truma to his friend's chulin, it's relatively minor in terms of his actual losses because he can just sell it to a kayin. Perhaps we don't apply a knas tzricha. That's why we have to mention all three cases, whether it's metame, whether it's medameya, whether it's menaseh, each one with his own unique properties. A knas is applied if he did it b'mezid. Okay. Amar Chizkiah. Here comes an interesting machlekes. Chizkiah says, Dvar Torah, you should know that Minha Torah, Echad Shogeg, Ve'echad Meizid, Chayev. When it involves a Hezek She'ein Nikar, right, an invisible damage, like Metame, etc., whether he did it on purpose or by accident, he is responsible. You know why? My Taima? Because Chizkiah holds Hezek She'ein Nikar, even though it's not a visible, tangible damage, Shmei Hezek. Minha Torah, it constitutes damage and harm. And he's liable Minha Torah, and of course when it comes to a mazik Minha Torah, there's no differentiation between on purpose and by accident. Rashi says we have a pasuk, petza tachas petza, even a shegig is chayiv if it's a true mazik. And according to Chizkiah, even a hezek she'enei nikar is a true mazik. So the question is, why does the Mishnah say shegig is potter? Uma tam amru b'shegig potter? The answer is, kadei she'edia, Chacham instituted that exemption. You know why? So that the mazik should be inclined to be motivated to go inform the victim. So we give him that break. You know what? You get immunity. Go tell him what happened so that he knows that his stuff is usur. Really, you should have to pay, but we give him that pass. So then, even if we did it on purpose, we should give him the same pass. No, hashta lo zukika mechaven. Look, the whole reason why he did it is to spite him, to harm him. You think he's not going to tell him about it? Of course I'll tell him about it. So that factor is not at play, and therefore we can very well obligate him to pay for the damage. That's Chizkiah's approach. Hezek Shein Nikr is considered a mazik. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he disagrees, and that's how we paskin. Dvar Torah Echad Shogeg B'Chameizid Potter. No, whether it was by accident or on purpose, if it's Hezek Shein Nikr, he's really Potter. My time, why Hezek Shein Nikr? Lo Yishmei Hezek. Ma Tam Amar Meizid Chay. The question is the other way around. So why does he have to pay if he did it on purpose? It's a knas, the rabban, as we mentioned before. Shelo yehi kol echad ve'echad hoylechu metami taroisev shachaveroi. V'ayim epotarni, to protect the victim. So that people should not be tempted to go and be metami and ruin the other person's stuff and say, well, I didn't mean it. It's just a hezek shein nikar. So we say, look, you did it, but mezid, you have to pay. So it's a knas with the rabbana. Okay, now let's bring a raya to Rabbi Yechanan. Tanan of a Mishnah, kehanim shepiglu b'miglish. A kohen is involved in the carbon, and he makes it pigle. He has in mind, you know, he says, I'm doing this in order to, I plan on bringing it onto the mizbeach, and 2 days from now, it makes it puzzle. So does he have to compensate the owner for the carbon? Well, mezidim chayav. If it was on purpose, he has to pay. But Tani Elo, we have a bright which explains, you know why? Metikin Elo, to protect the community. End of story. Be'amr hezek she'en nikar shmei hezek. According to Chizkiah, it's a kasha on Chizkiah. If you hold that it's a proper hezek, even though it's ain't a nikar, hay shegigin p'turin metikin Elo b'bayle. So instead of the bright providing the reason of Tikkun Olam to explain why, if he did it on purpose, he has to pay. Well, if he did it on purpose, of course he has to pay. It's Hezek. The reason of Tikkun Olam is to explain why the Chacham gave him a discount when it was by accident, so that he informs the victim, etc. So why did the Mishnah say it the other way? That's exactly what the Brice is saying. It's sort of missing some words. If the Kohen did pigel, mezidin, he has to pay chayavin. And let's make a diuk. Ha-shoygi can put turin, but if it was by accident, he's potter. On that we say, you know why? So that he informs the victim. But of course, chizki is right. Even ezek shein nikar like pigel, is called a mazik minatur. Most of Rabbi Lazar have another kasha on chizki. The Brisa says, ha-isim alocha b'mei chattas, paras chattas. If a person works, does a job, does something with the water prepared for the ashes of the paraduma, or with the actual para of the paraduma, potter medini adam, even though he makes it puzzle, because we need full focus and concentration without diversion, without doing malachis, he's still exempt in a court of law. He doesn't have to compensate the owner for the lost paraduma, but in heaven, oh, he's going to have to pay for that. Okay? Now, what are we speaking about? A hezek sheni nikar. He did malach with the para, invalidates the para, but it's not physically visible. No physical change or physical damage here. According to Chizkiah, it constitutes proper damage which obligates him even in Dinei Adam. Then Bedinei Adam Namil Chayim, let him pay up even in court for this type of behavior. So it's a kasha on Chizkiah. Who Moisiv lo, who Mefarek lo, Rabbi Lezer, who asked the kasha, provided an answer as well. We're speaking about a unique type of psul. He didn't do a malacha outright, a direct malacha. It was causation. It was a grama. It was incidental. Para is speaking Sheikhnisa Luravka. He took the para into the place where they, like the pen where they go and they thresh there. He put her in there. Amanasha Tinak. So the calf can nurse from her mother. That would have been fine. That's legal. Vitidosh. Problem is, he also had in mind that it should help with the threshing. So technically what he did in terms of the act, the masa, he did nothing wrong. The thought is what counts. The thought, the machshava, is what destroyed everything. He had a mind that he should, that the parah should help out. In the malacha, says Rashi, that's called a machshava, and that's just a grama. That's a causation. It's a grama. And therefore, grama by damages is potter. The same idea with the meichatas. Sheshakal behen mishkolis. He didn't actually, you know, rinse himself with the meichat. He didn't do direct malach. He had it sitting on one side of the scale, and he weighed something in the other against the chatas water. So therefore, he didn't do a direct mas in the meichatas. It doesn't qualify for chiyuv hezek, even though it invalidates the meichatas. But it wasn't a direct maisa, which qualifies for restitution. So as the Gemara, what do you mean? If he just used it that way, it wouldn't disqualify the meichatas. But Amar Rava, Rava told us, meichatas sheshakal ben mishkolis kshera. This type of use, having something weighed against the meichatas, doesn't constitute malacha. It wouldn't be an issue altogether. Like gosh, the answer is, depends how direct. Ha begufan, ha bekenekta. Rava's case is speaking that it was opposite, so the mechatas was on one side of the scale and he used the other side of the scale to weigh against it. Of course, it's not a malacha that disqualifies, but the brice, which indicates that he has to pay, he's liable for damaging the mechatas, is speaking that he actually used the water itself to weigh something in it. So for instance, there was a container with mechatas and he dunked some meat inside and based on how much that water rose, he determined the weight of that piece of meat. So it was an actual direct use of the water. Of course, that's called a malach, which disqualifies the water. 1 second, says the Gemara, now we're really stuck. Because then he would be chayv outright. The whole point was that it was just incidental, it was caused, but it was a direct use of the water. Says the Gemara, oh, begufan masa kovet, and it's a direct masa in the water, masa kovet behu. And if that's the case, going to Chizkiah, this direct masa, which disqualified it, even though it's hezek shein and nikar, obligates payment. The hezek shein and nikar shmei hezek. According to Chizkiah, it's considered a mazik. Then why is he exempt in a bezdin? But didn't he ovid adam nami lechayev? So we'll start off ping ponging. According to Chizkiah, why is this fellow not chayev? Oh, he just waited. Wait what? Opposite it? Okay, that wouldn't be possible anyways. Wait in it. Oh, then it's direct ma'isa. Then it's a ma'asa hezek. Of course he has to pay, even in a bezdin. So back to square one. Ella, rather, this is the correct pshat. Idiv connect them. Rava's halacha that weighing the mechatas is not a poisel, and the braisa also speaking, same case that he weighed opposite the mechatas, on the other side of the scale. So there's no masa done directly with the mechatas. Lekashin answers like this. Hoda asach date. In the braisa was speaking that he harmed the mechatas because he diverted his mind. He lost focus. He was focusing on weighing the other, and he wasn't paying attention to the mechatas, which require a constant vigilance, a constant shmira. That makes it possible, but since it was just a mind thing, it was a hesach adas, that's a grama, it's causation, it's incidental. There's no chi of mazik for that. Even if you hold that unseen hesach, invisible damage, hezek shein nikar is called mazik, that's when he did a masa to do it. A masa to be poisel. He was a matame, but here it's just a mind thing. He could have very easily have retained his focus, but he didn't. That made it possible. That's grama ben zakani's potter. Hodeles asachadaiti. When Rabbi says there's no issue at all, weighing against the mechatas, was speaking that he was totally focused and watching the mechatas at the time. Of course, in that case, it maintains its kashrus. Masir Rapapa. Here comes another kasha on Chizkiah, who says hezek shein nikar. Sorry, it's Kasha Rabbi Yechanan, who says, Hezek Shein Nikar, Loish Mehezek, here comes the Kasha. Masra Papa. We have a Mishnah Bava Kam. Gozel Matbeya, one steals a coin of a Nifsal, and it goes out of circulation. It's worthless. Or he steals Truma, and then Venitmus becomes Tummy, again worthless. Or he steals Chametz. V'Avrava Pesach, and Pesach passes through, basically, making it Aser. Oimer Loi. So the thief can return the same item and say, look, I'm sorry. Harish lachal fanecha, this is your item. It's worthless, too bad. This is yours. Question. V'i amris. Hezek shein nikar shmei hezek. Now, if you were to say that invisible damage is reckoned with, how can he pay back worthless coins? He stole something of value. Now it's worthless. True. There's no discernible change in the actual, you know, property of the coin. But hi Gazlanu. He stole a coin which had a certain amount of value, and now it's worthless. It's a damaged coin. He has to pay up. He has to pay properly. Tifta. So this is a refutation on Chizkiah. This proves Rabbi Yechanan's point. Although it's valueless, it's worthless, but it's hezek shein nikar. And min haTorah, we don't reckon with that. Lema ketanai, perhaps this question of how to deal with hezek shein nikar is machlekes tanai. Okay, so the Braisa says like this: hametame, vamedame, vamenasech. All the cases of an our Mishnah, hezek shein nikar, echad shoygig vechad mezid chayev. Whether he did it by accident or on purpose, he has to pay divrei amir. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Just like an our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda be shoygig potev mezid chayev. Was done on purpose, he has to pay, but b'shagig is potter. How do we understand this machlekes? Mahila boka mitzvah, perhaps the machlekes revolves around this question. The mar savar, Rameir holds, hezek sheni nikar, shmei hezek. It's a true mazik. Minatari, you have to pay. And therefore, whether it's shagig or mezid, pay up. Umar savar, Rabbi the holds, loy shmei hezek. Minatari, it's not a mazik. It's only a knas to Rabban, which is limited to mezid. Says Gemara, no. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, the Kuliyama, perhaps everybody goes with the Shita of Hezek Shein Nikar, Loish Mehezek. I'm a Tariya Potter. It's only a knas to Rabban. The question is, to what extent do we apply the penalty? The question is whether we should stretch the knas to shegig as well, lest it come to mezid, lest the person use it as an excuse. Well, I didn't mean it was a shegig, really, it was a mezid. So we extend it to shegig as well. The question is, do we do that? That's the machlokes. How far to apply the knas? The Mar Savar, Remeir holds, we don't differentiate. Consul Shogig or to Mazid, the Knas applies to Shogig as well as Mazid. Umar Savar, like Consul Shogig or to Mazid, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, we limit it to Mazid and not a Shogig. So, bottom line is, everybody will hold Hezek Shein and Nikar, Allah Yishmei Hezek. The only reason why you would have to pay is Midir Rabban as a Knas. The question is, do we limit the Knas to Mazid? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Remeir says, we apply it to Shogig as well. Now comes an interesting stira, a contradiction. We're going to have a stira between Rameir over here, who applies the knas in all cases, to a different Rameir, who limits the knas to Mezin, and likewise, V'rami, the Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda, we have a stira Rabbi Yehuda, because over here by the Hedek Shein Nikar, he limits the knas to Mezin, and elsewhere by cooking on Shabbos, he applies the knas even to Shagig the Sanya. Hamavashal b'Shabbos, if a person cooks on Shabbos and Malacha, what happens to the food? If it was just b'shoigig, Yoichal can have it. We don't penalize him. B'meizid, if he willingly did the malacha on Shabbos, Yoichal cannot eat it as a knas to Rabban and the Rameir. Clearly, Rameir limits the knas to meizid. And by Yas, in our sugya, he applies it to shoigig as well. That's one kash. Next kash. What about Rabbi Yehuda's shita? In our sugya, Rabbi Yehuda limits the knas to meizid, and here comes Rabbi Yehuda, who applies it to Shogeg as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'Shogeg. If he cooked the food inadvertently, Yoichel Moitzei Shabbos. He can't eat it on Shabbos. He has to wait until Moitzei Shabbos. He shouldn't benefit from the Melacha. There's a Knas, even on Shogeg. V'meizid Loichel Lomitz. If he did it purposely, he shouldn't eat it forever. So here we go. Rabbi Yehuda applies the Knas even to Shogeg. Let's just finish the Braisa before we deal with the Stira. We have a third sheet, Rabbi Yochanan Sander Omer. He holds that Minat Torah, anything cooked on Shabbos is totally Asur. So if it was done by Shoigeg, okay, there's no Isser there. Ya'achal l'maytze Shabbos l'achirim. Others can eat it matze Shabbos, v'loyloy, but he can't. But mezid, if it was done purposely, lo ya'achal l'lamas, nobody can eat it, loyloy v'loyloy, not him, not others. Okay, let's go back to our sugya. We have a double contradiction. One in Rameir, one in Rabbi Yehuda. Kashya do Rameir, we have a kashya between Rameir and our sugya, who says that knas is applied to Shoigeg as well as mezid. Ad Ramea on Ramea by the Mavashal B'Shabbos. Who limits the Knas to Mezid? Number one. Number two. Kasha Rabbi Yehuda. We have a Kasha from Rabbi Yehuda and our Sugya. Who limits the Knas to Mezid? Ad Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda by Yishal on Shabbos. Who applies the Knas to Shegig as well? Here comes the answer. Ramea, Ramea, like Kasha. We're going to answer Ramea like this. Ki Kanis, when does he apply the Knas all across the board, even to Shegig? Bid Rabbanon. In a case where it's only the Rabbanon, such as an hour sugya, it's Hezek Shein and Nikar, it's only the Rabbanon. You know, Dina the Rabbanon need special reinforcement. People sometimes can tend to neglect Isurim the Rabbanon. So we apply a Chizuk, we reinforce it, and we apply the Knas even to Shegik. But when it comes to cooking on Shabbos, which is an Issa Daraisa, which people tend to be more careful about, but Daraisa, he didn't see a need to stretch the Knas, like Konis. He limited the Knas to Mezid. Asks the Gemara 1 second. But in our sugi, we had one case, at least according to Rav, which was the Eraisu of Hamanasech, Nisach Hayayin, that's Isra by the Zara. The Eraisu, because Konis and Stura Meir applies a Knas there by Shegig as well. Well, Mishum Chumad Avedis Gechom, it's an exception because of the severity of the Zara. We wanted to stay really clear and far. Konis applied a Knas in that as well. So, bottom line, according to Rav Meir, when a knas is needed, we apply it by mezid for sure. What about by shoigeg? Only by the rabbonons, but not by the raisas, typically. Regarding Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to answer it as well, but just flip everything around the other way. The Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Loikasha. Why? Ki loikonos Rabbi the rabbonon. In our sugi, we find that Rabbi Yehuda only applies the knas to mezid because it's dini the rabbonon, it's hedek shein nikar. Not as severe as the raisas, it doesn't require an all-out knas, only by mezid, b'dayraisa knas. When it comes to cooking on Shabbos, b'dayraisa, we look to reinforce that more, protect that more, we apply a knas even by shaygig. Asks the Gemara, well, we have one question from Menasech. From Menasech, in our sugi, which is dayraisa, it's a b'dayraisa, loy knas. Rabbi does not apply the knas by shaygig there. Mishum chumer davay diskechavim, because it's so despicable, because of its avay dezora, mivdo b'dilu b'nei, people tend to stay clear and far, and therefore there's no need to go the extra mile to apply the extra knas. So bottom line, we have two opposing views, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, regarding how far to take the knas. According to Rabbi Meir, if he did these things b'mezid, a knas is in place. B'shoigi, well, if it's d'oraisa, we don't need to make a knas, because it's severe on people's eyes. But the Rabbanon, we have to reinforce, we apply the knas even by shoigig. Rabbi Yehuda goes the other way. Only by d'oraisa do we apply the extra knas of shoigig, but not the Rabbanon. Bottom line, according to Rabbi Meir, when it's the Rabbanon, we apply all across knas, but not by d'oraisa. Here we have another stira. V'rami d'Rabbi Meir, ad d'Rabbi Meir b'd'oraisa. We're going to find the stira within d'oraisa, within Rabbi Meir. Because by us we learn that by d'oraisa, Rabbi Meir is not going to be so severe and strict. Whereas in the next braisa we find that when it comes to Shemitah violations, Rabbi Meir applies a knas even by shayig, even though it's d'oraisa, the sanya. And it's tebe Shabbos. One plants on Shabbos. He did a malacha. Well, it depends. B'shayig was done inadvertently. You can maintain his sapling. B'mezid yakar. If he did it purposely, he's got to uproot it. Knas. Because he did it b'mezid. So that, matches Rameir Shita. U'b'shviyas. Here comes the question. But if he planted on Shemitah year, bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid yakar. Divrei Rameir. Rameir says, whether he did it b'shoigig or mezid, we apply a knas to both. Why? It's d'orais. Why does he stretch the knas to shegig as well? That's one kasha. Now we're going to have a kasha Rabbi Yehuda as well. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that by d'oraisa, we're extra careful, we apply the knas to all cases. And here comes Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shvius, if you plant it on Shemitah, no. B'shegig you can. If you did it b'shegig, you can keep it. But mezid yakar. If it was done b'mezid, then he has to uproot it. Even though it's d'oraisa. So we have a double stira again. U'b'Shabbos, but if he planted on Shabbos, bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid yakar. Whether it was b'shoigig, b'mezid, he has to uproot it, and that corresponds with Rabbi Yehuda's shita that we apply the knas all across the board by d'oraisa. Bottom line is we have a big tumult going on, big stira. Let's take it one step at a time. Rameir ad Rameir. In our sugi, we concluded that Rameir limits his knas to b'mezid, except where it's the Rabbanah, which needs extra enforcement. And here we say by Shemitah, he applies a knas even to Shoigig. Sounds more of a Tamech, according to your reasoning, Tikshalach Higuf, and then the whole Mishnah, the whole Braisa is problematic. Michti, why would there be a difference between Shemitah and Shabbos? How do you explain that? Ha-da-raisa, Shabbos is da-raisa, and so is Shemitah. Ma-ishno Shabbos, or ma-ishno Shvius. Why do we differentiate between Shabbos and Shemitah? That's the punchline. That's the key. It must be that there's a special factor applicable to Shavuos that sets it apart from everything else. That explains the whole discrepancy. Why Rabbi Meir treats Shemitah differently, and likewise Rabbi Yehuda. Ella Hasam, rather, over there, by Shemitah Kedektani Tam, there's a reason. Amar Rabbi Meir gave the reason. Mipnei Mani Omer B'Shabbos. Why is it that when it comes to Shabbos, I limit the Knas, B'Shoigig, if you did it by mistake, Yikayim, you can keep the plant, B'Mezid, Yakar, only B'Mezid I uproot it. When it comes to Shemitah, all across the board, the B'Shviyas, Ben B'Shoigig, Ben Mezid Yakar. You know why? Because planting on Shemitah can be very detrimental and carries a greater risk of breaching the halachis and bringing about a zolzol and a stumbling block. But it makes you Yisrael Moinin L'Shviyas, because when Yisrael plant new trees, you know, they have to keep a record. A farmer has to keep a ledger. Look, I planted this tree on the second year of the Shemitah cycle, and this way he knows when the tree emerges from the 3 years of Erla, etc. Everything has to be calculated and precise. So if you planted this tree on Shemitah, it's going to go on the public record. Yeah, this thing was planted on Shemitah. Everybody's going to refer back to the records and know exactly when it was planted, and this can bring about a zilzal.
a miksha. People are going to think that you can plant on Shemitah. So therefore, Meir says, I'm very strict when it comes to planting on Shemitah. I don't want to create this long-lasting, permanent impression that planting on Shemitah is okay. This tree is testament to a Shemitah planting. But when it comes to planting on Shabbos, as terrible as it is, but it's not a permanent testament to that, because nobody's counting. Nobody's keeping records in terms of what day of the week it was planted. So even though he planted on Shabbos, it's long forgotten. And therefore, I don't come down so hard when it comes to planting on Shabbos. Another reason would be, Nechshedu Yisrael al HaShviyas. Klal Yisrael at that time were apparently more negligent when it came to planting on Shemitah. So that needs more reinforcement and more knas. But Nechshedu HaShabbos as opposed to Shabbos, which are kept in any case. Why do you have to add this new facet? So Chachamim meant like this. Just like when it comes to planting on Shemitah, I said it goes on the public record and it becomes, you know, public testament. Maybe Shabbos as well can have that concern. You know why? Why would a person have to know that he planted it on Shabbos? Listen to this. Zimnin de mikla yom labad b'Shabbos. Halacha is that if a person wants to sort of chaperayin, get his first year of Erla behind him, so what he does is he plants 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. 30 days is like a month, it counts as a year. Once we cross Rosh Hashanah, it's considered year two of the Erla. Provided it was exactly 30 days or more to Rosh Hashanah. So let's say day 30 to Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. And he planted it on that day. He's going to have to keep track of that. Right? Down the road, they're going to say, 1 second. Is this a second year of Erla? A third year of Erla? Well, it depends. When was the plant? For Rosh Hashanah. How many days for Rosh Hashanah? Was it Friday? Was it Shabbos? Oh, it's Shabbos. Oh, it's 30 days for Rosh Hashanah. So now it goes down public record, public perception, that a Shabbos plant isn't okay. It's okay. Zimna the Mikul Yamam b'Shabbos, it could very well be that the day 30 to Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. It's only because he planted on that day, Hudasakli Shata. He plants on that day, he gets the year. He gets the 30-day period, which counts as a year. But otherwise, if he waits till Sunday, he doesn't get the year. And the fact that he counts it as a year indicates to everybody that he planted on Shabbos. That creates a terrible precedent. And a knas should be applied even by Shagig Toshman. The answer to that is the Dabar Acha, the additional factor that Rameir mentions. You should know typically people are very careful when it comes to Shabbos. There's no need to make extra precautions and extra penalties. Although Yisrael perhaps are not as careful by Shemitah, so extra penalties are in place. Well, in extra Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, people are extra careful. There's no need to go overboard. So we answered Rameir. Again, Rameir holds. Knas applies to Mezid. What about Shaygig? Only by the Rabbanans, which require extra reinforcement, but not by the Raisis. We have an exception, Shemitah. Because it's an everlasting testament to a Shemitah planting. We don't want that to be. And therefore, we apply a knas. You have to uproot it, even though it was b'shagig. Let's go to the other side of the coin. We have a student on Rebuda as well. Rebuda was going from the other direction. We always apply knas to mezid. We're going to shagig only by derises, which are more strict and more severe. Question is, why by Shemitah did Rebuda take the backseat, so to speak? He limited the knas to shagig, to mezid, not to shagig. The Rabbi that read like Kashu, that could be answered very simply again, because Shemitah is an exception in the other direction. But Asher Rabbi Yudah, because Rabbi Yudah's locale and his community, they had a very serious attitude to Shemitah. Chamir lu Shvius. To them, Shemitah was like end all. So it didn't need that extra reinforcement. In fact, there was a story, Dahuda Amr Le Chaveri, a fellow who lived in Rabbi Yudah's area, turned to his friend and cast an insult in his direction. Dayer ba dayerasa, you're a ger, the son of a ger. Amaleis, the fellow retorted, well, I might be a ger, but I'm not as bad as you. I keep Shemitah properly, you don't. Apparently that was paramount in their eyes. That was the biggest insult. Or I should say the biggest defense. Ano lo yachli peru de shviz kavasach, I don't consume forbidden perish fruit like you do. And that was the end of the argument. So he took shviz very seriously. And therefore, Rebbe holds, we don't have to go overboard when it comes to penalizing the violators. We can limit it to the mezid. Okay, let's recap today's daf briefly. We started the
sugya of the metame medameya menaseich, and we went into the sugya of hezek shein nikar. He damages, he harms, but it's not visible, it's not tangible, it's more in the spiritual realm. What happens there? Either we hold it's shmei hezek, matura, it's considered like a damage, or we say lo shmei hezek. It's only medirabbonon that he has to pay. When does he have to pay? Oh, so we had a machlekes Rabbeinu and the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, whether it's shogeg or mezid, we apply the knas because it's an isid Rabbanon, which requires reinforcement, as opposed to isurim d'oraisa, where we limit the knas to mezid, except for avei dezara because of its severity, except for shmita because, as we said before, it goes on the public record and creates a precedent. Rabbi Yehuda takes the opposite approach, and his shita seems to be reflected in our Mishnah, that we limit the knas only to mezid because it's the Rabbanon, whereas by Isurim deraisa, like Melachas deraisa, we apply the knas even to shegeg as well. We have two exceptions, Avei Dezara, because people are naturally repulsed and distanced from Avei Dezara, therefore there's no need to stretch the knas to shegeg, and likewise by shmita, because in his locale, shmita enjoyed that extra protection, and therefore there's no need to stretch the gzera, the knas, and we limited it only to mezid. All the best to you, and hatzlacha merubah.